Roadster SpaceX package, the Model S and X get some updates. Antarctica's ice issues. The Boring Company gets a green light from Chicago to build the new high-speed loop system, and more in this episode, episode 5 of This Week in Science. So let's talk about some Tesla news. But before I get started with that, I just want to say sorry I'm late. Normally, as you know, this podcast goes up on Friday, but I had a family event on Friday, and then I also I went camping on Saturday and Sunday, so I wasn't able to get out a recording then. So I'm really sorry, but now we're back again. And today we have some exciting news to talk about from last week and the week before. So the Tesla Roadster SpaceX package at the shareholder meeting last week. Well, actually, it's now the week before last week now. So 2 weeks ago, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said that the Roadster that was originally unveiled at that special event was only the base version of the Roadster. In a tweet, Elon said, quote, SpaceX option package for new Tesla Roadster will include about 10 small rocket thrusters arranged seamlessly around the car, end quote. He went on to say it will drastically increase the performance on the vehicle, and he also teases that the vehicle may be able to fly quote-unquote, short hops. So, we'll have to see what comes of that. Obviously, the Tesla Roadster is slated for a 2020 release, I believe. I think that's still on track. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 2020 release. So, we still have, like, a year and a half, essentially, maybe 2 years before we see it. But still, I mean, the people who reserve, for the people that reserve that Roadster, I mean, they better be, they're probably getting pretty excited because this sounds awesome. He did announce there would be a SpaceX package a long time ago, but people speculated it might just be some cool paint and a sticker, but he has confirmed that it will have some rocket thrusters. He did say that it'll be, these thrusters will be powered by compressed air, I do believe, so it won't be any fuel. He said that in a tweet, so it won't be any fuel. It will stay with Tesla's vision of electricity, so we'll have, like, compressed air. And he said that they will, using electricity, it will refuel, essentially, those tanks full of compressed air. So, it sounds really cool. The source for that was Tesla and Elon Musk's Twitter. So, the next Tesla subject we have today is some improvements to the Model S and X. So, you know, we haven't really heard about those in the news lately. We're hearing a lot about the Model 3, but there are some things going on with Model S and X. So let's first talk about the Model X. The 70D Model X, which is now renamed the 75D, has gotten a better 75 kilowatt hour battery, hence the new name, and a few small improvements. For unknown reasons, the top speed of the Model X now drops to 130 miles per hour. The original top speed was 140 miles per hour. It comes with a $3,000 increase in price. So there were a few small improvements, aesthetic improvements, and also just improvements all around the Model X, just very small improvements, but the biggest improvement was that 75 kilowatt hour battery. Now, the Model X also got a round of improvements. This includes a new front that looks more like the Model 3 and the rumored Model Y. It got an air filtration system that was originally only reserved for the Model X. It got new interior trims, an upgraded 48-amp charger, which is probably the biggest thing along with the new front face, or the new front nose, essentially. New headlights along with many more improvements. Unlike the X, the Model S's price will stay the same. These are great new refreshments to both vehicles, and it's good to see that Tesla hasn't forgot the Model X and S, even though its main focus is on the Model 3 currently. The source for this was Automobile. Well, on the subject of Elon Musk's companies, let's talk about The Boring Company. The Boring Company gets green light from Chicago. Chicago and The Boring Company recently announced its plans to build a high-speed loop system from O'Hare International Airport, to downtown Chicago. The Boring Company said it will not use public funds. In 12 minutes, a pod transporting up to 16 people will travel between the airport and downtown Chicago. The max speed would be around 150 miles per hour. Someone wanting to use this service will have to pay a smaller fee of just $20. In contrast, an Uber ride takes about 45 minutes and costs around $40 to $50. Now, every 30 seconds to 2 minutes, A pod will leave the station and carry around 2,000 people each direction per hour. Musk wants the system built for less than $1 billion, a quite ambitious goal, and he wants construction to start in 3 or 4 months, he said in a press conference. My thoughts on this? Well, this is awesome because obviously the Boring Company hasn't really done much. Well, I mean, it has, but hasn't really built something like this. Obviously, they're getting approval from Los Angeles to build a system, a tunnel system, but this is awesome that they're also getting approval from other places like Chicago, and this would be great, you know, a base to, you know, form their other projects, like they want to build a Hyperloop system, which is an upgraded version of the loop with higher speeds, from New York to Washington, D.C., and if this works, if this little loop system from O'Hare International Airport in downtown Chicago, if this works, this will give the Boring Company and Elon Musk some serious street cred and will help them maybe push forward in their other projects. The source for this was Wired, and I will keep you updated on this very interesting topic. We've talked a lot about cars this episode, so let's talk about an Apple car, a car made by Apple. What's going on here? So the Apple car is planned to be released in 2019. It's kind of obscure. Not many have talked about it yet. So what will it look like? Before I go on, I'd like to mention that these features aren't confirmed. They're just logical and very possible speculation. The design will be minimalistic. Like the Model X, it will have Falcon wing doors, except these doors will be much bigger and they'll take up the whole side of the vehicle. So there'll be two Falcon doors on each side, and they'll take up the whole vehicle. A wraparound light band will act as the turn signals, the brake lights, etc. It will go around the whole vehicle body. It will have completely autonomous capabilities, even though it will have steering wheel, at least in the rumored concepts. We don't know for sure. It might not have a steering wheel at all. Windows will completely wrap around the vehicle, just like the light band, and it will be likely Gorilla Glass. That's probably what they'll be made out of. Quote, the Apple car will likely be an extension of your Apple device, end quote. Garrett DeBry says, the designer of the renders of the Apple car, the rumored renders of the Apple car. So my thoughts on this, well, it's pretty interesting, pretty cool. Of course, I'm not in the market to buy a car. I can't even drive yet. But maybe some people like this, some hardcore Apple fans. Personally, I would 100% go with a Tesla option or something like that. Also, we don't know if it's going to be electric or gasoline, if this thing does come out, which we don't even know if it'll even come out. It most likely will, though. I'm guessing, you know, because Apple has an immense commitment to the environment. You know, they're touting the thing like, oh, all of our buildings are powered by completely, you know, renewable energy, solar, biofuel cells, and etc. So I'm guessing this car would be electric and not diesel or petrol, but we'll have to see. The source for this was Automobile. Opportunity will have some difficulties. Now, Opportunity is a solar-powered Mars rover that's been inspecting Mars for almost 15 years, and it is NASA's Mars rover, its chief Mars rover. However, a storm found on June 1st may pose a problem for the little bot. The dust storm will decrease the panel's output of electricity, which is the first and foremost the biggest problem. NASA has currently shut down all unnecessary systems to try to preserve Opportunity's energy. So all the scientific things and data collection things, those are all powered off. Just the vital systems are being used to try to conserve as much energy as possible. Now, dropping temperatures caused by the dust blocking of the sun will also pose some pretty serious problems. This is the worst dust storm the rover has encountered in over a decade. However, NASA has said there is some good news and that they are, quote, cautiously optimistic, end quote, about the rover situation. In other words, they think Opportunity will make it. On the plus side, this may help planetary scientists and others to better understand the dust storms on Mars, which are pretty uncharted territory currently. I will keep you updated on this, and hopefully Opportunity will be okay. The source for this was Popular Science. Antarctica's ice is melting extraordinarily fast, even faster than originally thought. Since 1992, 3 billion tons of ice has melted in Antarctica. All that ice melting made the oceans rise 3/10 of an inch, 7.6 millimeters to be exact. That amount may sound infinitesimal, but is already affecting our world for the worse. From 1992 to 2011, 84 billion tons of ice had been melting. Now, from 2012 to 2017, that already alarming amount increased dramatically to 241 billion tons a year. Quote, "I think we should be worried. That doesn't mean we should be desperate," end quote, said University of California Irvine's Isabella Villacogna, one of the 88 co-authors of this study. Quote, "Things are happening. They are happening faster than we expected," end quote. This is more irrefutable evidence of climate change and its disastrous effects. The source for this was Time. We need to somehow come up with a solution to stop or at least slow down climate change. And that brings us to our final story for today. And an optimistic little fact here to end off today's podcast here. So a win for solar. Solar has just overthrown gas and wind as the biggest source of new U.S. power. The article says, quote, "The U.S. installed more solar energy than any other source of electricity in the first quarter," end quote. Developers installed about 2.5 gigawatts of solar in the first quarter of 2018. These panels accounted for 55% of new energy generation. Even with new tariffs on solar panels, solar seems to be rising dramatically. This year, in the U.S., experts expect the total installation of solar panels to be 10.8 gigawatts, and we've already done 2.5. Now, by 2023, annual installations will be around 14 gigawatts, which is amazing. I can't wait for solar to overtake every other source and become the leading source of electricity along with its renewable friends. The source for this article was Bloomberg. Thank you so much for listening to today's This Week in Science podcast. Again, sorry it was late. I did have some things going on, but thank you for bearing with me. And if you have been, thank you so much for listening. I mean, I hope this podcast is truly helping you each week to get more and more enriched information on the world of science and technology. And I hope that it helps you stay up to date and in the loop with the technological and scientific community. So if I missed any big events for this week, or if there are any problems, or if you have any requests, etc., because I want to make this show as best as possible, then there are two ways you can contact me to tell me about those things. Number one, and by far the easiest way, just tweet me at Twitter. It's at TWISciPodcast, TWISciPodcast. You can tweet at me there, or you can just follow my account for updates, because if you were following my This Week in Science account, you would have known that this podcast would have been delayed. So it's a great way to stay in the loop with this podcast. And also, I do occasionally retweet and tweet about scientific happenings that don't make it into the episode because I try to pick the most important events and put them into the episode. So if there are some smaller but still important events, you can find them at my Twitter page because I often retweet and tweet about those important events. So that's just another way you can stay in the loop about the technological and scientific community. Now, you can also email me at twiscipodcast@gmail.com, twiscipodcast@gmail.com. And like I said, email your questions, your concerns, your feedback, anything. I'll be happy to communicate with you because I love communicating with fans. Thank you so much for watching and expect a new episode of This Week in Science to come out this Friday. Thank you and goodbye.